Thank you to our Jim and team leading us in some worship there. And before we come into God's Word, I actually just want to share a few thoughts with us, because this has been another tough week for us. We've moved from tier three to tier four, and that's difficult for all of us. And I just want to speak into that a moment and for what that means for us here in EMBC. Last week we shared about going forward on Sundays, going forward in a step of recording in the church, live streaming from the church, then live streaming with people present. Talked about the life groups meeting together in person, and I've become more and more aware over the last few weeks that, you know, on one end of the scale there's people saying, you know, Mark, you know, do you not think we've taken a really cautious approach in EMBC? On the other end of the scale, I've got people saying to me, you know, I'll not be back in church till there's a vaccine, you know, and in between, there's many of us with our own thoughts and views. What I would like to say today as a senior leadership team, you know, we recognise the massive challenges that many of you are facing. You know, we love you, we care about you, we miss you, but now more than ever, we need to be patient and gracious and encouraging of each other. How do things work though at the moment? Well, right now, anything that we look at doing requires a risk assessment to be done. And that risk assessment then comes to the trustees, which is Alec and Ray and myself. We sign off on the risk assessment, or maybe we say, oh no, you need to go and think about that a bit more. And then when that's been signed off on, the process can start to get whatever that activity is going. So like a few weeks ago, when the youth went a walk in Calder Glen, you know, a risk assessment had to be done for that. Another example would be, you know, we've done a risk assessment for the worship team to be able to go in and record and live stream. And in fact, throughout December, the focus is really going to be on getting the recording up and running in the church again. So hopefully you'll be encouraged as you start to see some of the things happening again in the church. But I just want to say this finally, wherever you sit in that line about what you think ENBC should be doing and not doing, and I know it's difficult, you're like, this church is doing that church is doing that, or this church isn't doing that, why are we doing that? I know there's a big breadth of thoughts and feelings about this. One thing that we probably all do share though, our feelings of frustration, being fed up and disappointed. And, you know, I said right at the beginning, many, many months ago, you know, about the importance of us keeping looking up to God, keeping looking in, supporting each other in your church family, and keeping looking out to your friends, your neighbours, your work colleagues around about you that God may call you to minister into. And just pressing on and trusting in God during what continues to be a very challenging time. Please, as always, if you get any questions about anything to do with the life of ENBC, please do get in touch with myself or Rory or David, and we'd love to chat to you about that. We're going to come into God's Word, and as we prepare to do so, let us pray together. Father God, we do recognise that it's been a tough week. Moving from tier 3 into tier 4, we recognise and continue to deal with the many challenges that this global pandemic is bringing into our lives. And Lord, we just now, as we come into your word, want to thank you that you are in our lives. We want to thank you that you speak into our hearts and our minds here today. And Lord, we just open ourselves up to receive and hear from you. And Father, just strengthen each of us today. If we're sitting at home feeling a bit fed up, Lord, just strengthen us and maybe we're just fed up with this sort of format, then just help us just engage and open our hearts and say, you know what, God, speak now into my life. I come to worship you. I come to praise you. I come to meet with you now. And we just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We've been looking at this theme of enjoying the presence of God. And really we're looking at living out the reality and the experience of God's love in our lives. Last week, Rory was sharing about us the importance of affirming some of the incredible truths of who God is and how God acts in our lives. And one of the things he shared with us about is the fact that God is with us. And we're going to look a bit more closely at this today. Now think of that phrase, with us, for a moment. You know, we've all got people, maybe you've been arranging to meet people, you know, during tier 3, maybe you were arranging to meet with people in a cafe. Now I'm afraid it's out in a cold November day for a walk that you need to meet with them. But you've maybe been inviting people to be with you because you enjoy their company. And that's what we do. We invite people to be with us at times because we enjoy their company. Other times, though, maybe we invite someone to be with us because we need their help. For example, maybe you're going to buy a car, and so you ask your mechanic, can you just come and check this car out with me? But think about it, you then maybe don't say to your mechanic, why don't you come home for dinner? And why don't you stay and watch the telly tonight with me? You know, they're just there with you at a moment in a particular situation for a particular task. But when we think about this phrase, with us, when we think about it in the context of being a follower of Jesus, see, we believe that God is with us always. Not just meeting a friend for a coffee or a walk, not just someone coming to help us in a particular situation, but God is always with us. You know, when you're alone, he's with you. When you're meeting with others, he's with you. When things are going well, he's with you. When you're struggling, he's with you. You know, we make this astounding claim as the followers of Jesus, that God is with us always. You know, you open your Bible in Genesis. Where do we find God? Walking with Adam and Eve. Think back many months ago now when we were looking at the story of Exodus, God bringing the people out of Egypt to take them eventually into the promised land. And how was he with them? Very visibly, very tangibly. There was a pillar of fire by night and the cloud during the day. We read in the Bible of God being with people and how that changed their today and their tomorrow. And this is the reality for us today. God with us changes our today and changes our tomorrow. So in the time that we have now, I just want to look with you a little bit more at what this means that God is with us. You know, maybe you bought a book one time because it had a great title and it had a great cover, but you've never actually opened the book to read it. You know, many of us like that phrase, God is with us always. But we need to go deeper. We need to turn the pages a little bit more and allow the depths of this truth to just soak into our souls today. God is with you, and that changes your today and it changes your tomorrow. So we're going to be a number of different Bible texts. So if you've got your Bible, if you've not got it, pause, go and get it. If you do have your Bible, you're going to be flicking about a bit. Firstly, let's move into the Gospel of Matthew. It begins with the genealogy of Jesus and then an angel coming to visit Joseph. And Joseph hears that Mary, who he's betrothed to, is through the Holy Spirit, has conceived and is going to give birth to a son. They're to call him Jesus, which means, and he's going to save his people from their sins. And then we read this in verse 22. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said to the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Right at the beginning of that gospel, God with us, Emmanuel. If you jump now in your Bible, now to Matthew 28, last words of Jesus in this same gospel, I am with you always, even to the very end of the age. So this gospel was bracketed with those two great promises. God is with us. God is with us. But in Matthew 28, we know that Jesus is about to ascend back into heaven. And yet he says to them, I will continue to be with you. And you know, this is where we need to flick some pages here and ask, how is this possible? How can I know that God is with me today? And what does that mean for me? Well, continuing in Matthew 28, you know, God is with us. You know, why can we see that? Because Jesus is alive. You know, Matthew 28 begins with the two Marys going to the tomb. Why are they going to the tomb? Because Jesus was buried there on Friday. Friday he was crucified. And his body's laying there on Saturday, on what was the Jewish Sabbath. And now on Sunday they have gone to the tomb. You know, if there's one thing seem really, really bleak. You know, there's a story told during the Napoleonic Wars. The nation was waiting to hear about the outcome of the Battle of Waterloo. and a signalman had been placed on top of Winchester Cathedral, looking out to the sea. And when they received a message from a boat, they were to pass it on to another man on a hill and another person, and it would go and eventually come to London, and the news would then spread throughout the country. Well, a ship did appear. It was sighted through the fog. It was a really foggy day. And the signalman on board the ship sent the message, Wellington defeated. And then the fog closed in. So the watchman sent the message down, Wellington defeated. It went from one to another. And then a great despondency came across the whole nation. But a few hours later, the fog then lifted again. And the whole message was revealed. Wellington defeated the enemy. I think a simple "we won" might be better. And the nation rejoiced. You know, in Matthew 28, if we stop in verse 1, the woman went to the tomb. You know, where is the hope? Where is the assurance that Jesus is with us? But we read on in Matthew 28, and the whole message is revealed to us. Verse 5, the angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen as he said he would." And we read on that Jesus appears to these women. So at the end of Matthew 28, when Jesus says, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me," when Jesus commissions his disciples to go and make disciples, when Jesus says, "I am with you always," why? How is this possible? Jesus is alive. Today, Jesus is alive in your life. Tomorrow, Jesus is alive in your life. When we think about enjoying God's presence, it is so important. As someone once said to me, that you keep one eye on the cross and one eye on the empty tomb. The cross is where Jesus goes and dies for the sins of the world. He pays the price for sin. The innocent Jesus dying for the guilty, you and I. He calls out, "Father, forgive them." And we know God's amazing forgiveness in our lives. His body's placed in the tomb. That's verse 1. But after 3 days, the fog lifts and the whole message is revealed. Jesus is alive. Death is defeated. Your today and your tomorrow is lived with what we might call now a resurrection perspective. The empty tomb helps us cope with the sorrows and the challenges of this world. It gives us hope, it gives us strength no matter what we're going through. Because there's always a better tomorrow, because Jesus is alive. You know, Emmanuel, God with us, is not just a great Christmas phrase, it's reality in your life today. Why can we say Jesus is alive? Because Jesus is with us because he lives, but also because he lives within us. Get your Bible now to John 14 and verse 16. This is Jesus speaking to his disciples. "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him." Jesus is talking about the Holy Spirit. "Because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you will know him, for he lives with you and will be in you." I often try to imagine at times what it must have been like to have walked with Jesus, to have watched him minister to people, to have heard him teaching, to have watched miracles happening right in front of your own eyes. But Jesus says this in John 16, verse 7. "Very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Advocate, that is the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." Jesus is saying to us, it's for your good that I go, so that the Holy Spirit can come and live in you. This is what we see in Acts chapter 2. So the disciples are in that upper room, they're praying, and the Holy Spirit is poured out into the lives of the believers, and all who follow him today. So today we have an assurance that God is with us. Jesus is alive. His Holy Spirit is within us. His Holy Spirit is active in our lives. You know, convicting us of our sin, teaching us, directing us, empowering us, and gifting us for service. So let me encourage you again today to surrender your whole life to the infilling of the Holy Spirit. You know, you're saying, God, come and reign in me. Fill my whole life today, Lord Jesus. Is God with us today? Yes. Why? Jesus is alive. His Spirit is within us. But what does this mean for your life today and for my life? Well, let's jump now into the Old Testament. We're really getting around our Bibles today. Into Joshua chapter 1. Context is 40 years the people have been in the wilderness, the people of Israel. They've wandered for the desert for 40 years. Moses, their great leader, has died. God is now ready to lead them into the promised land. Joshua, Moses' apprentice, now leads them. And he stands then at the threshold of taking the people into the promised land. And here are the words we read from Joshua chapter 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the River Jordan into the land I am about to give them to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law, talking about the Old Testament law there, always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you'll be prosperous and successful. You know, we enjoyed hearing John Mark Comer at the Canopy Weekend, and he was talking about spiritual practices. And, you know, folk like John Mark Comer and Ruth Barton and other writers, they're not creating something new. Here we have, thousands of years ago, you know, the importance of these practices that we talk about, meditating on God's word, memorizing it, so that we can be strong and courageous as we go on. But back to the text, verse 9, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. You know, God with you changes your today and your tomorrow. And we see this in a number of ways in this text. Firstly, we see how it changes our experience of isolation and loneliness. You know, Joshua had been Moses' assistant. He had witnessed Moses' life. He had witnessed everything that Moses had to go through. He had witnessed Moses in lonely times where, you know, where even his brother and sister had turned against him. And that verse 5, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. You know, Joshua was able to take that and put it in context. And one of those contexts would have been what he'd seen Moses go through, the times where Moses had felt like he was just standing by himself. But he wasn't. God was with him. You know, God with us, you know, it changes our weakness to strength. That's the second thing. You know, God calls Joshua to have strength and courage. Why? Because he's probably feeling a bit overwhelmed. He probably thought it was always going to be Moses who would lead the people into the promised land. But no, it's him. This is God's calling, God's anointing on his life to take them into those promised land. And maybe he's having one of those who am I moments. We've all been there, haven't we? Maybe today when you hear me just talk about the Great Commission, you think, Who am I to be a disciple that goes into all the world to make disciples? But God specializes in taking the weak and making them strong. He specializes in taking fragile jars of clay like you and I and using us in his kingdom purposes. And we see also in this text, the third thing, that God changes fear and discouragement and brings hope. God says to him, do not be afraid or be discouraged. Wherever you go, whatever is in front of you, I will be with you. You know, God is calling out the great challenges in Joshua's life. Isolation, weakness, fear, discouragement. And I just wonder today, what does God call out in your life today? Maybe it is isolation. Now here we are, 8-9 months, we're back in tier 4 of lockdown. You know, we've all got people in our lives that we've not seen for a long time, or we've not been able to hug, people that we're missing. Maybe God's just calling that out today and saying, I know you feel lonely. I know you wake up every day thinking, am I going to see anyone? Am I going to speak to anyone? And he's saying to you, I'm with you. And that change, that let that change your today and your tomorrow. Maybe he's calling out self-doubt, some chance, task or challenge that you're just feeling ill-equipped for. Maybe it's anger. Maybe you're just angry at what's happening. Maybe it's discouragement. Maybe it's fear for your work or your health or your family. You know, in Joshua's life, in Joshua chapter 1, we see God calling out the challenges in his life. And maybe, you know, maybe God's doing that for you today. But just like he said to Joshua, so he says to us today, don't look at the challenge. Look at to me, because I am with you. In your greatest struggle today, God says, I'm with you. I'm right there. You know, Joshua has a God-given purpose, doesn't he, in his life? And God says, I'm going to be with you. And God is with you as well, not just in your struggles, but God's with you in the purpose and in the tasks that he's got for you in your life. You know, I was speaking to a GP friend of mine the other week, and she was talking about how many folks are just coming to see her, just struggling with mental health. And she says, for a lot of these folks, you know, they've just lost a sense of purpose through all that's happened. And she says, what I just try and do is encourage them by giving them a task to go and do. Maybe phone a friend or help someone. You know, folks, God gave Joshua a purpose. And God's given you a purpose. There is a grand purpose of going to all the world and make disciples. But that can be very specific for each of us. You know, maybe that's in your work setting or some friendship group. But this time, let me encourage you by reminding you that you've got a purpose in your life. God has given us all a purpose to go and make disciples. We sometimes use the phrase, change the world. You know, maybe God's got you, phoning someone or taking messages to someone or chatting to someone at work. Because he is going to use you to change their life and see them come to know Jesus as their Lord and Saviour. God is with us. You know, why can we say this? The resurrection. Jesus is alive. Because his Holy Spirit is within us. God himself at work for us. What does this mean for us? It changes your today and it changes your tomorrow. Fear turns to hope. Discouragement to encouragement. Weakness to strength. And this is why, you know, it's so important that we enjoy God's presence, because he's with us all the time. And that's why we've been encouraging us over these weeks to purposefully stopping at times and just acknowledging, God, you're with me. And here's just a little thing for you to try this week. Maybe every time you go out your front door, just find yourself saying to yourself, God, you're with me. And that changes my today. If you're not going out over your front door much, maybe every time you go into the kitchen or something, just say, find pause and say, God, you're with me. And that changes today. It changes whatever I'm facing today. It changes whatever task, whatever purpose you've got for me this day. You are with me in. So as I come to close, you know, this has been a tough week. And maybe the fog has, you know, come into your life a bit, and you're only hearing part of the message. Tier 4, restrictions, closure, more isolation. And let me encourage you to hear the whole message today. God is with you. In the restrictions, in the isolation, He's with you. And that changes your today and it changes your tomorrow. Because God is with you, it gives you a purpose in your life. And maybe you just need to, you know, today at one point sit down and write, okay, what are the things that I've got ahead of me this week? I can phone so-and-so. I can write to so-and-so. You know, I've got this to do at work. I've got this to do in the church. You know, think about your life. Think about the purposes that God's got for you and invite Him into that. But hear that whole message today. You know, Jesus went to the cross to die for our sins. You know, verse 1 of Matthew 28, His body is laying in the tomb. We know the whole message. 3 days later, He rises again. And He's with you 24/7. And His Spirit lives within you. You know, maybe today, He's calling out the challenges in your life like He did to young Joshua. Maybe He's naming things in your life. But remember, just like with Joshua, when He named them, He gave him the great promise, I am with you. And that is His promise to you today. And it changes your today and it changes your tomorrow. In a moment, we're going to come into worship, and Lauren Mitchell's going to be leading us in worship together. I'm just trying to find the name of the song, but I've misplaced it. But it's a song that talks about, it's a song actually that reflects about, in part, about that story in the Bible where the three young men that had been brought from captivity into Babylon, they won't bow the knee to the statue that Nebuchadnezzar has made. And so they're flung into the fiery furnace. And what does Nebuchadnezzar and everyone else see? Someone else is with them in the fire. God is with you today. Let us pray and then allow this song to just minister into your soul today. Father God, we thank you. You know, right at the beginning, in Matthew 1, you call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Right at the end, Jesus, you say, I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. And we know that that is true in our lives today. You're with us, Jesus, because you're alive. You're with us because your Spirit lives in us. And you have called us to lead lives of purpose. And we thank you for that. And in the challenge that some of those purposes take us into, you're with us. That was your promise to Joshua. You know, if you feel lonely, I'm with you. If you feel discouraged, I'm with you. If you feel weak, I'm with you. If you don't have courage, I'm with you to strengthen you. Thank you. You are with us. And Lord, I just pray for anyone now listening to this today. Maybe they know the exact name of that struggle that you're calling out. Lord, may they also hear you speaking into that situation, those incredible truth. I'm with you. I'm with you. I have defeated death on the cross, and my Spirit lives within you. I am with you. And Father, as we come to listen to this song now, you're with us in the fire, and we thank you for that, Lord. And just allow this worship song to just minister into each of us' lives now. Lord, we just continue to be in your presence as we move to listen to this song now and worship you now. And we just pray this in the precious name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.
Space between what it used to be and this reckoning. Thank you all so much for joining us this morning. Thank you to the band, to everyone behind the scenes for putting all this together, for everyone involved in the clips. And thank you, Mark, for your message this morning. We've got our midday meet and chat over Zoom, and we have our prayer evening tonight at 6:30 over Zoom as well.
Yeah, thank you, Rory. And again, please, if you are in need of help in any way, please do get in touch with us. We miss you all, and hopefully we'll see you in a few minutes' time on the meet and chat. So have a good day. Bye-bye.